Announcements. Yeah, Jim just texted me yesterday or so and said him and Sherry were wore out from VBS. I don't know if they just watched Sierra or did they help with VBS or do you know? Soraya.
I didn't see them, so they were probably busy somewhere. Busy enough,
Okay.
I never saw them in the adult snack room. I frequented that a little
All right. Well, I don't know how well you can see that. Pastor Brian is in New Hampshire. He's helped. There's a pastor named Eric May, and I guess Eric's church in New Hampshire is only about an hour from the Boston church plant with Renaud, Mike Renaud. And so I think Mike Renaud's church and Eric May's church met at some kind of church camp for adults, some kind of retreat this week. And Brian spoke each night and he's speaking this morning and he asked for prayer. So we'll pray for him here in a minute. But Brian says, please celebrate the incredible effort of HBF Church Family as they've hosted another wonderful Vacation Bible School. Let's lead our folks in praying for the seed that has been planted in the children's hearts. We know the adversary will want to sow tares and pluck up the seed sown in the tender soil of children. But by God's grace, he will not prevail as we pray God's word has free course in their hearts. So that was a nice blessing that Brian asked upon our youth. And so let's pray for that here in a minute. And then he gives these highlights. There's a prayer meeting today for the Carters. And the Carters are planting several churches in Valiente. That's a suburb of Santo Domingo, the capital down in the Dominican Republic. And so that'll be in the library right after church today. Keep them in stitches is this week. Register for HBI sooner than later. I think it starts the middle of August. There's a flyer for the Hendricks men. I didn't get any a bulletin. Did you guys get one? But so, do you golf, TJ?
I haven't in a long time.
Okay. They kind of got some neat stuff going there. The Hendricks men's are in Oaxaca, Mexico. Julie, the tables look better. Thank you. Chuck, you're gonna miss Jim. I didn't bring you anything, brother. So, he says the rest of the announcements. Let's see. He says the update from New Hampshire. We concluded camp yesterday. The Spirit has been sweet, and the Spirit is moving in the churches of Living Faith Boston. And Cornerstone of Swansea, New Hampshire came together to get refreshed and envisioned. Please pray for me as I preach this morning at Pastor Eric May's church called Cornerstone in Swansea, New Hampshire. Don't forget to pray for the path. We've been filling the pulpit in Passaic for almost 3 years now. It's over 2 years. And so we'll pray. I'm not sure who's there this morning. And so that's kind of the announcements. I actually thought I would, I don't know if you guys read the bulletin much, but I actually thought I might go over it. There's 11 prayer teams here, and they highlighted the one in pink is today. That's the Carter prayer team, but it's probably good for us to know who all these folks are if you don't. The team Barry is in Ireland for now, and Teresa Gear heads that up. I'm trying to think if it's Tom Harding.
No, he's just saying, he's just telling who they are. Oh.
Yeah, I just announcing who our missionaries are. Trying to think, is it, I think it is Thomas Harding. He's in Portland, Oregon, and Joe Hendricksman, Oaxaca. The Horvaths are in Budapest, Hungary, and our son leads his prayer team. Yeah, he learned to speak in Hungarian language. What's his first name? Kale Horvath. And he's out of New Philadelphia, Ohio. And then Doug Howie is someone that Pastor Brian discipled. And he's in Romania. Josh O'Hara is in Toronto. I think it's Andrew Ong. I think I started an email there. Okay, good. I don't do it enough. Doug Pearson, we know, is India. Mike Renault in Boston. And Derek Thomas in the Ukraine. So there's your cleaning team for the next week. Is Lance Yoder. So if he's your deacon, that's your cleaning team. A little bit of highlight. I don't know if you got a financial statement from Pastor Brian, but we're down to only owing $20,000, so we're going to pay it off by the end of the year, we think. I think it's about $4,000 some a month. So the people who give to the building fund, that was like to add on to our building, and so we keep that separate. Help wanted in the Resource Center, Wednesday night Bible study, men's breakfast, still a month out. They just had one Saturday. Hey, Connor. Hey, free offs. We're kind of light today. The Stovalls are down there on vacation this morning. We do have two or three getting baptized in August 9th. So if you know anybody that's been saved and would like to get baptized, that'll be August 9th. And next big thing is the Bible conference. So we got a little bit of a month or two to breathe. And then there's a thank you for everybody help with BBA and BBS. Did you guys come to that? Good. Good. Any report you want to share? TJ or free offs, you guys?
I'd say that it was pretty cool to see even some of the littler, like the first grade type age kids.
Yeah.
Recite most of Psalms 23.
Really?
There was quite a few of them that they're like, hey, I'm on a sticker. Let me show you what I got. And
yeah.
They could do quite a bit of it. I was impressed.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
They just a little incentive of giving them points or whatever. And
yeah, these little woot-woot stickers.
Okay.
So I was handing them out, you know, if they were saying thank you or, you know, being polite or quietly eating, you know, not bouncing all over. But then some of them were like, hey, I know the verse. Let me see. Okay, let's hear it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was cool.
We kind of did that at camp a little bit because some of them were pretty easy verses. And they get 100 points for it, and so it's kind of got to be competitive, at least with the boys.
Yeah, yeah, they, you know, a lot of them knew the very first 23-1, you know, the Lord
yeah.
Shepherd. So that was pretty easy, but then they go into
yeah.
all the way through 6 and 7. I'm like, wow.
I've memorized that before. I don't know if I could say it today, the 23rd Psalm, all 6 different verses, I think.
Yeah, they were actually teaching to me. I didn't have it memorized. I still don't.
Wow.
Okay, I think that's wrong. So, yeah, I should have done more studying myself.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It was a highlight for me, too, just seeing them. You know, I see the littlest one with Pam's grandson. He quoted, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yes.
Wow.
So, yeah, and just seeing the teenagers being so good and so helpful. They help me and Pam load and unload and I know it just touches my heart to even think about how good those kids are, those teenagers.
Yep.
You know?
Mm.
Yeah, like Drake wanted to be here. He thought it was cool, you know, from all the things they could be out doing.
Yeah.
Summertime.
Yeah.
He wants to come. And, you know,
And I think it was the most ever. Luke said there was 150 signed up. And he said one night there was 140 some, and I think 30 some are in more the high school group, but 120 or so in the...
Yeah, I think we, our biggest night, I think we had close to 130 kids come through the snacks.
I mean, it's full sanctuary with all the teachers and kids probably.
The biggest group was the youngest kids.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
I never heard that sanctuary get so loud when they're playing the thing.
They're playing the power. I didn't know those little kids could make that sound. They're excited. Connor, what did you help with? I just helped out with DBA. With who? With DBA. Oh, you did? Okay. Wow. Okay. Luke said him and Nick were the teachers, I think, with the VBA. And they, but yeah, there's 30 some of them. And he said some would be in snack and some would be teaching, some would be doing activities. So anyway, I worked all day here most days, and then I left before everything started. But it was a good week. So. Thank you all, and hopefully you can get rested up. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer right now, and Brian asked just a prayer for him as he's preaching in New Hampshire this morning. Brother Jeff Trude is preaching here, and there's a, I don't have my, we're recording with my phone, so I can't look. There's somebody in Passaic this morning. We'll pray for them, and what was the other prayer thing he asked for? Just, this top one, he just asked, you know, let's pray for the seed that was sown in the children's hearts this week. Did your kids like VBA?
Or like,
they took it all
James
in?
James was sad.
Really, James was?
Like, oh, I want to
That's good.
You should have seen their hats.
Yeah? What was it? A house hat?
Cow.
Oh, oh. I see. Yeah.
Did you guys ask for that group? Or did you just
Yeah. Okay. It was a day because we had a meeting over the sanctuary. So I went online and then.
And then Dylan's group, Dylan and Sam's group won all week.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I told Sam, like, oh, that's not fair. He said, I got like 10 or 11. Every day,
wow. He's the goat.
Well, they did have the oldest group, so I think next year they go to the youngest group, see if they do that to them.
All right, well, let's pray, and we're going to look at Genesis chapter 2 this morning. Okay. All right. Haley's got some teeth taken out.
Steve, did you know Richard has to have surgery?
For that?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, what happened?
I've got a bone spur that's cutting into my Achilles tendon.
Wow. Of August, so you gotta wear that for a month.
Well, he wants me to keep it immobilized in case, like, I step wrong in it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I bet you or Carla are not looking forward to that. You're gonna have to baby him for a little bit.
It's hard because he'll have to be, like, non weight bearing for 2 to 3 weeks. And I've personally gone through that 4 times.
So she's not saying she's not going to help you, but it's just not fun. Well, yeah, we'll definitely pray for that. Carla, I know you visited with Megan. Can you share anything about her?
She's just waiting to get transferred to a rehab.
Okay.
She's actually on right now. She's listening.
Yeah. Oh, is she? Okay.
Hi, Megan.
Megan, everybody's saying hi to you. I got this speaker here, so. I know Megan lost two toes, but it seemed like the antibiotics are getting, are working. And
yeah, they're waiting for a test result to come back, and then she's going to be moved to a rehab, so she hopes that sooner rather than later.
Right. And
she says hi back. Yeah. Yeah, but I've seen her a couple times. She likes visitors.
Yeah, that's good. Well, Rosie had her surgery and had to get her line reinstalled, and she was, Rosie had a car wreck, and I think the seat belt forced kind of a tube to come loose, and so it was kind of insult to injury for Rosie, and so we'll just pray for her recovery. And all right, well, let's hey, Belinda.
Did you guys talk about Cheryl?
No. Ah, I did text with her yesterday. Seemed like Sunny.
I don't need it that bad.
Yeah, we get that on Sundays a lot.
Well, looks like Belinda, you brought a breakfast pizza. So after we pray here, if you want to get up and get something, you can. So thank you for bringing that, and let's pray, and we'll start in Genesis 2 here in just a minute.
Hey, Steve,
yeah.
I got one more.
Okay.
I've got a 18-year-old nephew. For the first 10 years of his life, it was a terrible situation that he was in. Our family had fought forever to try to get him out of it. You know, get DFS involved, they wouldn't do nothing. You know, they taught the kids to lie about what to tell them. The whole nine yards. It was a bad situation. So he got out of it. He came down and started living with my mother-in-law. I think he was about 11 or so. He's always been kind of reserved, really quiet, barely says anything. But he's been a really good kid. I got him in the weight room a year or two ago and, you know, showed him the ropes, and he's just taken off. That's his passion. He's weightlifting. He wants to be a personal trainer. He's got a really, got a good job. He's always just been a little, you know, just quiet, reserved. Well, him and his buddies went to on a float trip last weekend, and one of his friends gave him an Adderall and said, hey man, these will give you super energy for working out or whatever. So he took it and had a couple energy drinks. Well, they found out now, like, it threw him into psychosis. Like, legitimately, he's, like, gone. Like, all of his childhood memories that he repressed forever got just flooded back, and he's got, like, what he did his whole life was repress all that. So now, like, he can't stop. Like, the Adderall just, like, reactivated that part of his brain. And so he's just having all these memories flood back. He doesn't have any coping mechanisms because he always just repressed them. Well, now this is just, like, thrown them all. And so he is in a 96-hour hold up in research. And he's...
like suicidal? Said,
not suicidal, but just the stuff that he says is just so wild.
Not in touch.
Yep. Yeah.
What's his first name?
His name's Stephen.
Okay.
He's 18. He just turned 18. So we're dealing with the stuff where he's old enough to where he, you know, he kind of do his own thing, but he still, you know, never had to go his own way, so.
Wow.
It's a tough situation to try to get information. But luckily, they're keeping him on an involuntary 96-hour And they're saying that it's psychosis. I've never seen anything like it.
All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started this morning. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and just acknowledge you in all our ways. We thank you for this local body of believers. We thank you for prayer that you hear and you answer. We pray you'll answer these prayers according to your will as we intercede for our loved ones. We know Haley's having some tooth pulled. We know she's probably in some level of pain, maybe hard to eat. So we lift up Haley, I think it's Johnson to you by name, and pray for her to be comforted at this time. And for Richard's upcoming foot surgery, as he's kind of hobbled up and unable to do everything he would normally do. And I'm sure he's got some pain and discomfort along with just the hassles of maybe getting dressed. Or Lord, just lift up Richard for successful surgery to remove this bone spur and give him a good quality of health going forward. And Lord, for Megan, that she can get into a rehab facility and get the results of her test done so she can start the rehab. And so we pray for her to come back speedily to us. And Father, for Rosie, as she's in recovery from her surgery, I pray she can get back to Jimmy and they can get her car fixed so she can get around. And so Lord, we just lift up Rosie and also Sherry Walker. She's ministering to Rosie that she can have wisdom to help guide through all these medical loopholes. And so we lift up Rosie. We lift up Cheryl as she's sick this morning. Cheryl Saunders, we pray she can be restored. I know she's just kind of feeble, and Lord, I pray that the virus will diminish and she can walk and have some strength, Lord. And Lord, for the Stovalls, as they took a little time off, we pray that they'll have be refreshed, and they got their plate full of ministry and work. So we pray for Jim and Sherry as they're away. And Lord, for TJ's nephew here, this Stephen, that this tragic drug has affected his brain negatively. And Lord, we pray he can get stabilized and you know, not lose his job, not lose just the good track record he has. And so, Lord, we pray at this time that he'll look to you, that, Father, you can help this young man, and maybe this will be a turning point for good. We know all things can work together for good. And so, Lord, we look for the good to come out of that. And, Father, for Brian, as he's preaching, maybe even now as I'm speaking, I know they're 1 hour difference, so we pray for Brian Hedges as he speaks at the church there to the brothers and sisters in New Hampshire with Eric May's church. And Lord, I think it's Tom Ford preaching down at Passaic. Lord, we pray his message will be anointed and it'll bless the congregation there. And I know my friend that texted me this morning that's just maybe contemplating suicide. I pray for her, not by name, but Lord, you know that she's struggling mentally, and so we lift up her to you, and I pray that she can choose life. And Father, for this Vacation Bible School, is well over 100 children are in this church, Lord, and we know that it takes childlike faith to come to you, and so we pray that their faith will be firm, that they the world won't snatch up what was sown in their hearts this week. And so I pray with for all the parents that they'll help guide their children and nurture them in the way that they should go. And Lord, help them not to depart from it. So bless this time now as we study the book of Revelation and the millennium. We dedicate this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, that's kind of a lot. And so it's good to hear the needs and things that are on your heart. It helps me to know the state of my flock. As pastors, we're supposed to know the state of our flock. And so Angie passed out these notes this morning, but I wanted to give you kind of an overview of the millennium as we start here. If you'll look in Genesis 2 with me, this is where, They call it the week of creation, the 6 days of creation in chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, the Bible says that God rested. And we want to talk about that for a minute here. In Genesis 2, verse 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made." And so before I comment much on that, look with me in Colossians now. In our New Testament, the book of Colossians, we're getting ready to go to Revelation, but Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and it's chapter 2, I believe. Yeah, and I'll have someone read this, but so in these... On this seventh day, God rested, and the Bible says that that was a pattern, and that became known as the Sabbath day. And so here in America, many of you have probably heard the term Judeo-Christian values, and we've always honored Israel. I don't know if you've noticed in the news that many of our Congress senators and representative House of Rep, they are voting to discontinue their support of Israel. Not all, but many. And we've always honored Israel as a country, but some of it goes back to this. If you have a secular job, most of us, if you're not in retail, you have Saturday and Sunday off. And so I think just right, but that's not retail. Oh, okay, yeah, right. There's many jobs that do include working on weekends, but so a lot of time, most of us think of Monday as the first day of the week, but really Sunday is, and Saturday is known as the Sabbath. So I think just the work week is a way that we can think of Judeo-Christian values. Judeo meaning Judaism, the sixth day we honor, we take Saturday off, and we have Sunday off because that's the first day of the week. That's the day that Christ arose from the dead. And so that honors Christian values. So now if somebody would read Colossians 2, verse 16 for us, and then I want to bring this to light what we're talking about. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16.
"Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holiday or holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day."
Read 17 also.
"Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ."
Yeah, so I always kind of marvel at those verses. Just it says that the holidays, the holy day, or the new moon and Sabbath days are a shadow of things to come. And this is a book written to the churches. And so we think of the Sabbath days as, you know, the Jews were to pattern their week. Every week they would have a Sabbath day. And then every 7 years they would have a year of Sabbath. They were to let the land rest. And what that verse in Colossians, verse 16 and 17, it says, and I know you can, you probably can't see it, but my hand is casting a little bit of a shadow on this board. And if you think of this rest, I don't know if that's the right way to spell it. Is it A-T-H or SEP? A? But it that verse that TJ read says that those Sabbath days, they were a shadow of things to come. And what we're talking about this morning is that there's coming 1,000 years of rest. So this Sabbath day, this millennium of rest, it says that these Sabbath days were a picture, and what we really think is, you know, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And does anybody know where that verse is found? 1,000 years are as a day. I think it's 2 Peter, but I think it's 2 Peter 3. And the reason I want you to, 3:8. Part of the reason I want you to see that, go ahead and read it, Richard, if you would. Yeah.
But let me not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
And what I think is really important about that is in verse 3 and 4, it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? And look at this. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So in the very context of a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, is this mention of creation. So scoffers are saying all things are continuing like they were, and this 1,000 years are as a day. And so if we say Christ died on the cross around 30 AD, and his birth, there is no year 0 AD or BC. But most historians believe there's about 4,000 years in the Old Testament. And, you know, we're up to the year 2026 in the New Testament. So it's been almost, if Christ died in 30 AD, it's been almost exactly 2,000 years since he died. And so, if you add all these together, 4,000, 2,000, 1,000, you get 7,000. You get this, it's like this 7 days of creation is expounded to this 7,000 years of history. So hopefully that makes a little bit of sense. And I think our handout will go relatively quickly today, at least the first half. Let me get back to this. So I'm going to just, if we look at this first front side of your page, I've got my page and you got your page. What I did was just give us a little bit of an overview of eschatology. So there's a big word. I've got to get familiar with some of these big words because this fall in HBI, I'm teaching, they call it systematic theology, and I think there's like 10 ologies that I'm teaching on, like soteriology is the doctrine of salvation, and I think eschatology is one of them, and it's the study of end time. So I've got to brush up on these myself in the next month here. So this premillennial order of prophecy, the study of last time, And this is the doctrine we adhere to as Bible believers. And so we believe that there'll be a period of apostasy. And who knows what that word means, apostasy?
Falling away.
Thank you, Pam. That's what 2 Thessalonians says, that there'll come a falling away first. This period of apostasy will precede the second coming of Jesus. And number two there, the Lord will come in secret for his own. So I put those on the red, those red letters in your first two blanks on the board. So the Lord will come for in secret for his own, and he will raise the dead saints and snatch away the living ones. This event is commonly called the rapture of the church. So that's this on the screen here, this arrow going upward. We believe that to be Christ coming for his church. We're going to meet him in the clouds and ever be with him. And in the teaching point I gave you there, this typology from the Old Testament, Enoch, who walked with God, was taken up to heaven alive before the flood of Noah, which was God's judgment. And so Enoch was the seventh from Adam. And Laodicea is the seventh church from Christ, the last Adam. So this doctrine kind of follows some Old Testament typologies, what we're saying there. And number three there, there will ensue a 7-year period of tribulation after when the Antichrist will rule. So that's this 7-year tribulation. And in the middle of that will be the abomination of desolation that we call the Antichrist. And there's been kind of many Antichrist. John even says that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work. But there'll be someone that will bodily be possessed by the devil and be some type of leader. And he'll make a covenant with many for 1 week. And then number four there, so we've studied all these things, but what we did last week, number four, Christ will then return from heaven openly with his own to overthrow the Antichrist and his armies at the Battle of Armageddon. And it may be more than just Armageddon. It may, you know, be extended, you know, over the Middle East area, but anyway, the Valley of Megiddo. So he comes with his own. That's church age and tribulation saints will come in the armies from heaven. So we studied that last time, the last couple times. And then the teaching point here, at the rapture of the church, Christ comes in the clouds of the air. At the second coming, Christ returns to the earth with his feet on the Mount of Olives. And so there is a difference between the rapture and so it's kind of, his second coming is kind of in two parts there. So number five, that's what we're studying today. This will start Christ's 1,000-year millennium. And milli is Latin for 1,000 and annum is Latin for annual. So 1,000 years, Christ will rule and reign at Jerusalem. And then, that's what this 1,000 years here, that's what we try to draw with this 1,000-year Sabbath of rest that's just been in shadow form until the actual millennium. And then number six, at the end of the millennium, Satan will be loosed for a season and lead a short-led rebellion before being defeated and cast into the lake of fire. I think I want to talk a little bit about that next week. So if you have questions, maybe let's talk about that next week. We're going to try to just cover the first six verses of Revelation chapter 20 today. And then number seven, this event marks the end of time. Satan's crushing defeat will be followed by the resurrection of the wicked and their judgment at the great white throne. So that's this great white throne judgment. Anyway, it helps me to see kind of a timeline. Hopefully this is instructive. And we'll briefly look at these other views of the millennium. I put a note here that it has been observed by scholars that interpreting scripture as literally as possible leads to a dispensational premillennial view of scripture and prophecy. So that's, we do try to take the Bible literally. And understand doctrine from that view. So these three views of the end times, postmillennialism, amillennialism, and premillennialism, we talked about the premillennialism already, but these first two, I've got a, hopefully this is interesting and not boring to you. I think these are out of order, but this slide kind of shows it better than Angie. Can they see it? If you're listening online, can you see this on the screen? Do you have to go to camera two, as Jim says? So I apologize if you can't read it very good on if you're listening online. But the postmillennial view is that Christ returns after the 1,000 years, which means, which is the definition of post, like after the millennium. The 1,000 years are seen as literal and thought to be the time of the greatest harvest of souls leading up to the return of Christ. And I'm not sure what churches or what denominations might hold to that. Maybe you know this next one, the amillennialism, it does list a couple of churches that hold to this view. And I don't know if it helps you, but there's a statue of has anybody ever seen that statue of that guy thinking? And when you're thinking, they say you're musing. You're musing. I don't know if you've ever heard that term, but what helps me about that is we have amusement parks, don't we? We have Worlds of Fun here in Kansas City, and amusement, it kind of means you don't have to think. You just go there and have fun, right? So the person who's thinking is the one that's on the statue, the little rock, of he's musing. And so when we think of the millennium, this belief says they believe in all millennia. They don't believe there's actually going to be a literal 1,000 years of reign. So as we read in Revelation 20 today, six times it's going to mention 1,000 years. And so the people that believe that there's not going to be a millennium would say that these 1,000 years are not literal years as you and I think of, you know, 365 days times 1,000. This means that no millennium, the 1,000 years are just symbolic. Some scholars call it apocryphal language. So there's a big word for you, apocryphal. The word apocrypha means hidden. So they believe this is apocryphal or symbolic language that of the church age. So the period in which we are presently living, they believe Satan is currently bound and the tribulation is still to come, after which Jesus will judge the living and the dead. Then there will be a new heaven and earth. And so I guess Augustine held to this belief. Roman Catholics, I guess, hold to all millennialism. And this even says some Baptists hold this view. So I don't know. Hey, Mary. And I think growing up in the Church of Christ, that's what we believed also. So thank you, Angie. Get her a handout there, Chuck. Thank you. Yep, that's all right. So those are kind of the three views. I know we kind of grew up thinking that at some point Jesus will come back and time will be no more. So we kind of did not believe in a millennium. Were you going to say something, TJ?
Yeah, to me,
we are not looking for Jesus in the flesh here. And so every other religion is looking for someone to appear here on earth. They are going to be the ones to follow out in the wilderness looking for this person. We are
maybe follow the Antichrist.
Yeah, we're waiting on God's hand to remove us instead of us looking for him here.
That is a good... So, you've been musing.
Everyone else will be easily confounded by the Antichrist.
That is a good thought, brother. Thank you for that. And so they're more apt to rather be Islam, their imam that they're looking for, this chosen one. And so it's depicted in even in movies and stuff too, right? So, all right. Well, now we're going to get into Revelation 20. So this is a good segue. Hopefully that's a good introduction to the millennium. We're going to try to cover these first six verses of chapter 20. But if someone could read 1, 2, and 3. So Revelation 20, verses 1, 2, and 3. Carla, do you have that? Yeah, and so that's the 1,000 years. And Angie, I don't think I turned this on.
I'll just send it to
you. Okay. Thank you, Carla. So a couple times there, I mentioned this 1,000 years, but this angel comes down from heaven, and it's not named who this is. Hold your place here and look back at chapter 9. It says something similar. Revelation 9, it says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. So this angel sounded, a star fell from heaven, and an angel was given a key to the bottomless pit. So it sounds real similar to that. So it could be that same angel. We know in Revelation chapter 1, Jesus has the keys to death and hell. And so there's a few times in the Bible that it mentions a key, but it's pretty wild to think that an angel would actually have some... I mean, if we take the Bible literally, and we try to, and here it seems like we should, there's an actual key, and he's got a chain, and he's going to bind up Satan here. This is a pretty powerful language, isn't it? So rather this angel be maybe the Lord Jesus Christ, I think most people think it's probably like Michael the archangel binding Satan here and having a literal key and a literal chain. And it mentions him by name here. And I don't know if this is almost linearly, in eternity. And if you ever study astronomy, not astrology, but astronomy is just the law of the star. But there's a constellation called Draco the dragon, right? So even there's a dragon in outer space made by these constellations, but I really think, historically, like before his fall, he could have been as a dragon, but in the Garden of Eden, he was the serpent. In the Old Testament, he's the devil. In the New Testament, he's Satan. So I think these four names for the devil are kind of linear, like cosmically and Garden of Eden, Old Testament, New Testament. So there's no doubt who he is that is bound, and he's put into the bottomless pit. And we've talked about that before. I don't know if I probably couldn't find it easily, but Most of us still think the earth is round. You know, I know there's a lot of flat earth things and don't know quite how all that works, but if we think of the earth as a globe, all of us are standing on it or sitting on it. Gravity is holding us down. So no matter where you're at on the earth, down is always, you know, gravity is holding everyone down. But if you think about the center of the earth, all they know about it is it's hot and dark, and we think that's where hell's at. But in the center of that, there really wouldn't be any gravity, right? You'd have us, that we believe that's where the bottomless pit is at. So today, there is a bottomless pit in the center of the earth, probably. And you can have a sense of, you know, being suspended. It's almost like a bottomless pit, right? You'd have weightlessness there if it's the center of all gravity. And so I believe that that's where this angel binds the devil. You know, right now he's running to and fro and up and down in the earth. And this, whether it be Michael or whoever this angel is that binds him, and he unlocks this key to the bottomless pit, chains up the devil and puts him in there for 1,000 years. And there is other references, where demons are in chains, bound into the day of judgment. I gave you that, in letter C there. There's 6 things that this angel will do that Carla read. He's going to lay hold on him. He's going to bind him with this great chain. And in 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6 is where there's currently other demons there, some from the days of Noah. And then he's also, number 3, he's cast into the bottomless pit. He's shut up or imprisoned there, and there's a seal upon him for 1,000 years, and then he's going to be loose for a little season. And so this teaching point here is the phrase 1,000 years appears 6 times in this chapter, and it's where we get the idea or the word millennium. And I learned to spell that this week. Hopefully I got it right. I think it's E-U-M. I think that's the way you spell it. So I had you put the word, nope, it's I-U-M. Darn it, I missed it. I thought I learned it. So I had you put the word millennium in your blank there. And then I got these notes here from Brother Jim. He did a study on the millennium once and talked to this class. The millennium is a future event when the Lord Jesus Christ will reign over the earth on a throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And he says one of the purposes of the millennium is to fulfill the kingdom of heaven promises that God has made to the nation of Israel, particularly in his promises that Israel will be cleansed, restored, and rule the nations. And he says the millennial reign of Christ, aka the kingdom of heaven, is when God fulfills the promises he has made about Jesus, Israel, the wicked, Christians, the Gentiles, creation, etc. And I don't know if you've seen my my header on there. My Roman numeral 2 there is heaven on earth. And I called it heaven on earth just because of, I don't know if you've ever seen pictures like this here. I feel like the Jehovah Witnesses have a lot of pictures that look like this, and I guess that's kind of how I picture the millennium, just because the curse is going to be lifted. There might not be thorns or thistles anymore, you know, weeds. Just, you know, it's not going to be smothering hot like it is now, maybe. One guy I was listening to says that, you know, people will still have jobs and go to work, and you know, it's hard for me to picture exactly how it'll be, but I picture something like that right there, just a perfect Christ is ruling and reigning in righteousness, and the devil's going to be bound. That's what we're saying. The devil won't be, I guess we'll still have flesh, and so, I mean, we won't. The church will be, have glorified bodies, but people will be here in flesh and bone bodies. And, so that's when the lion will lay down with the lamb. Long life will be instated again. So people could live, most people don't think that, you know, like, there's at least seven people in the Bible that are named that live over 900 years. There's seven people that live over 900 years, and Adam's one of them. But nobody lives over 1,000 years, so there's maybe some limits to that. yeah, I may not have the answer.
On the handout, should the first one be the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of heaven? That's the promises of Israel.
Did I mess up?
No, I don't.
I think I had the first word is key at the top.
I don't know if that should be kingdom of heaven for that one and kingdom of heaven for that one.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think they're both supposed to be kingdom of heaven. What are you thinking, Belinda?
So in Matthew
16 and 19. Yeah, let's all look at that. I want us all to look at Matthew 19. So 16, 19. Oh. Yeah, that's a kingdom of heaven. That's Christ giving those keys to the apostles there, right? But yeah,
we will be in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, this is where they're merged, is in the millennium. They merge the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And so I do hope to talk more about the two kingdoms, because I know it's maybe not clear in everyone's mind. But let's look at what else were you going to say about that, Belinda? The keys.
Sometimes I pray, Lord, you promise that the things that are bound on earth will be bound up in heaven, and the things that are loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven.
Yeah, I think there is an application, and so that's neat that you're praying that way. There is an application to us for sure.
That's the verse that Catholic Church uses to cleanse sins.
Yeah, the whole St. Peter's Basilica is in the shape of a key. Yeah. I mean, that's where they get their apostolic secession and all that from Peter. So he's definitely not the first pope, but he is the apostle to the Jews, as Paul was to the Gentiles. And but there's something from Matthew 19, and this was a little light bulb moment for me. So let's all look at Matthew 19. Hopefully it'll be a little light bulb moment for you. And so 19:28, there's a word here that only appears twice in our Bibles. Connor, I was going to, do you have that one? Do you have the Matthew 19:28? Yeah. This word regeneration, and he is talking to his 12 apostles there, because Peter's saying, you know, Lord, we have left all, we forsake all to follow you. How is that going to benefit us? And he says, ye which have followed me, like, not just you, Peter, but all 12 of you, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in his throne of glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And this word, it means, again, Genesis. So the word Genesis goes in your blank. So I think let me ask you guys this. This will be a good Bible question. When God flooded the earth in the days of Noah, where did the ark end up at? Not Mount Moriah. Ararat or Ararat. Yeah, so Mount Ararat. And let me look that up. It's Genesis 9, I believe. Yeah, it the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And this is kind of cool too. Ararat means curse reversed. That I don't know if I spelled that right. That word Ararat. But anyway, I picture like this millennium. This time of regeneration is when the curse is reversed, and it's like, again, Genesis. It's like a paradise. It's a Garden of Eden. The devil is bound. He is not he's not the god of this world anymore. He's not the prince of the power of the air. He's down in the bottomless pit. And so this is when the curse is reversed, and it means, again, Genesis. And so we're going to close here with us ruling and reigning with Christ. But for sure, these 12 tribes that Connor read there, these 12 apostles are going to sit on these 12 thrones. So Christ is on his throne. There's 12 thrones where the apostles are ruling over the 12 tribes. And that's why, do you know whenever... whenever Judas hung himself, that the apostles assigned another person to take his place. Do you remember that? It was Matthias. But do you know, when you get to Acts 12 and Herod kills James, they didn't replace him. It's because in Acts 7 is when Stephen was stoned, and Christ was rejected for the last time in Acts chapter 7. They, you know, Stephen told him that they crucified their Messiah, and so now there's not a need. We're in the church age, so we don't need to have 12 apostles now. We're in the kingdom of God, and it's within you, this kingdom of God. Whereas the 12 apostles were needed, that number was needed. That's why Judas was replaced. But not so when James died, or any of the others after that. So anyway, that's kind of an interesting distinction to make. And so, my teaching point toward the end of your back page, the tribulation martyrs will have a relationship with Christ. This is Brian Hedges wrote this. I thought it was really good. The tribulation martyrs will have a relationship with Christ and us, similar to the relationship between the resurrected Christ and the apostles. So you and I will be ruling and reigning with glorified bodies. So they fellowshipped, even though Jesus had a spiritual body and they had physical bodies. So I thought that was a good thing that Brian wrote there. And then if you're still in Revelation, Can somebody read verses 4, 5, and 6? I don't think we read those.
And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Christ, for the word of God, and which was not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part of the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God, of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Yeah, so in verse 4 is where you, in John sees in this 1,000 year, he sees thrones and judgment was given them. And so these are things that we're talking about here. These 12 tribes or 12 apostles are sitting on the 12 thrones. And then it tells you who's going to be there. The souls that were beheaded for the witness of Christ. And some of that we have read earlier in the book of Revelation. And then when Mary read verse 6, the rest of the dead, those are lost people. I had you put the word lost in your blank, because the people that don't accept Christ in this dispensation, they don't get caught up at the resurrection and the rapture. They stand before the Lord at the great white throne. And so we'll talk about that in chapter 20. A little later on here in this same chapter. And then I listed the seven blessings was your last blank. I brought that up again. This is one of the seven blessings that is in the book of Revelation. So we are blessed as Christians that we do not face this second death. And we're part of the resurrection. But at the end of that, it says they shall be priests of God and of Christ. And I don't know if we have time. I wrote a whole devotion on priest, and I thought I would read it to you. I think this is we're not Old Testament priests, but I guess whenever when you think about being a priest, I want you to think about either being like an intercessor or ministering to others. And so I think all of us, most of us, if not all of us, minister to others. And so that is a priestly duty. But I didn't print this out, so you don't have this. But this is just something I wrote a few years ago, I wanted to share with you. And it's the verse from Revelation chapter 1. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we are washed in his blood, and the Bible calls us kings and priests. So in the New Testament, verses above, God compares Christians to Levitical priesthood and kings of the Old Testament. Before a Levite could become a priest, he must be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. So also must people in this age be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb before becoming priests. Deuteronomy says, Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance. So just as Old Testament priests had no physical inheritance on the earth, New Testament priests, we are strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Although the Levites weren't given any land as an inheritance, the other Israelites gave them cities. The children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their suburbs. This is instructive because New Testament priests are going to rule and reign with Christ in the millennium and be like the faithful servant of God, the faithful servant in the kingdom of God, as Luke 19:17, who received 10 cities. And so we didn't look at that today, but it's a kingdom of God parable that different servants get cities. In 1 Chronicles, the Old Testament priests ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle and waited on their office. Just as Romans 12:7 tells New Testament priests, let us wait on our ministry. Old Testament priests were not to touch anything unclean, whereby they should be defiled, so also New Testament priests are to be clean through the word. Nehemiah chastised the Levites because they have defiled the priesthood of the covenant of the priesthood. So we too, as New Testament priests, often minimize our sacred calling by not living a consecrated life devoted to God. We forget the Old Testament priests, like ourselves, are responsible for the tabernacle and the holy things of God. Old Testament priests were not to have a blemish. New Testament priests are to be holy and without blemish. Old Testament priests were to offer sacrifices continually, so New Testament priests offered the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Old Testament priests whole lives were dedicated to worshiping God, just as New Testament priests' lives are to show forth the praises of Him. We're almost done here. 1 Peter 2:5-9, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Although there were many Old Testament priests, there was only one high priest, and only he could atone for sins. Aaron was the first, and Jesus Christ was or is the last. Among the many comparisons, Aaron's head was anointed with oil in Exodus, and in John 12:2, Mary anointed Jesus' head with oil. Also, Old Testament priests were to be 30 years of age to qualify for service, so Jesus was about 30 when he began his earthly ministry. The main parallel is that you had to be born a descendant of Aaron in order to become an Old Testament priest, and so you must be born again as a descendant of Jesus in order to be a New Testament priest. Friend, you can be washed from your sins and become a partaker of this heavenly calling by making a profession of faith to our high priest right now. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So, I was going to try to put that in a chart. I thought I'll just read the whole thing, but that's a lot of good things. And we're out of time, but, grab a piece of pizza if there is some. And, Jaime, would you pray and close us today?
Yeah.